Yes! Happy hump day! Hope the day is going well for everybody. Thank you for stopping by and joining us. As always, 803-0930, star 930 is the number for you to hop on. We're going to jump all over the place today. I think that's the best part about this show is, you know, you hear the first topic and you're like, I don't know, Joe, you know. Well, you know another one's coming, you know. There's some, I'll have another pitch for you, right? We might start the show with a change-up, and then the second segment, I'll throw you a slider. And, you know, if there's nothing to swing at, fastball in the second hour. There's a lot to get to. And I've been debating how to start this show today. David did an awesome segment at 9:30, and I would tell all of you to go and listen to that. Please don't do it right now. But when you have some free time, that segment was awesome and had me literally laughing out loud at the gym during the 9 o'clock hour. If you missed it, I will tell you what it's about. I am not going to get into it because, again, David did a fine job covering it, and it's not it doesn't need to go much further than what David said. But Politico, you know, they have this this thing in Politico called like the Politico newsletter or whatever. And in Politico, they have an article about the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, and his hope to run for, it doesn't explicitly say, but it obviously his intentions here are he wants to run for president. And I have to say, you know, people will tell me behind the scenes about how the county executive wants to, he views himself on a higher scale. And while I'm saying this, Chris, I apologize. I printed something out earlier. If you could grab it in the printer for me, thank you. I am so sorry. I meant to grab it. I didn't. He is putting together a committee. He is speaking with advisors, and he thinks that he is, I mean, the name of the article is Erie County's Buttigieg. Like, he actually thinks he is going to run for president. Now, if he has that kind of money, I would say, if Poloncarz has that kind of money, I would say we're paying the county executive way too much. Can we all come to an agreement? I'd also love to talk to anybody who would give money to a Poloncarz presidential campaign. I mean, come on, we've been following this guy, right, since I was in college, okay? We've been following this guy since I was in college. There's nothing overly exciting about Mark Poloncarz. It's not like he has this great personality. He has this, I think I'm better than you personality. And, I mean, we know the skeletons in his closet. I mean, think about presidential campaigns, or primary campaigns in the past. And, you know, people who are a lot better known than Mark Poloncarz. I mean, you could go a county over to Batavia and find people who don't know who Mark Poloncarz is. I mean, you could probably go to Wegmans and Amherst and people wouldn't know who Mark Poloncarz is. Regardless, put all that aside, okay? Think of the stuff that has sunk a presidential campaign in your lifetime. And you could probably find three or four things about the county executive that would sink his. And that's if anyone is even paying attention. Now, he's got a book coming out at the end of the year. I'm sure he'll be on Hardline to talk about that book. And we could ask him questions then. Reach for the stars. But eventually you need to come down to reality, right? I love being on radio. I love talking with you every day. I'm living my dream here, you know, in this radio studio. Now, I'm in my late 30s, right? It took me a while to finally catch on in the radio world. All right, I've been here since I was 20. At 37, I have a show. I love the people I work with. I hope they love me. I love the people I work for. Again, I hope they love me. But I know, you know, I'm pretty sure my limitations are Western New York. Now, I've had some fun filling in St. Louis, and hopefully I can continue to do that. But, you know, I'm not living at 37. I don't think I'm going to all of a sudden hit it big nationally, right? Like, never was my goal. My goal was right here in Buffalo. Like, I know reality would say, Joe, at 37, you know, you're doing pretty well. Just keep going here. At 37, you know, Philip Rivers came out of retirement in his mid-40s. It would be crazy for me to say, I've never thrown a football. I'm going to now go be a quarterback. I haven't played football since Williamsville Air Force in sixth grade. But you know what? At 37, I think it's time for me to go chase those dreams and play for the Buffalo Bills. It's wild. And again, he's out there campaigning for Zellner, talking about how great of a friend Jeremy Zellner is. Jeremy Zellner didn't even consider him for Congress. I mean, he's talking about his friend Jeremy Zellner, my friend running for Senate, which, by the way, was the most awkward endorsement I've ever seen. Did you see that handshake? And he put that uncomfortable handshake in the video montage on his social media. But that guy that you claim is your good friend said, yeah, Mark, you're not Congress material. And gave it to Tim Kennedy. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting how people think. And I guess to be in politics or to be president, you do have to have a bit of an ego. I mean, but this, I just don't know where that comes from. You know what I mean? Like, I work in radio. I work in media. A lot of people in media have huge egos, you know? Again, when you've had a ton of success, that will happen. I can't relate to that, you know? But obviously, I mean, he keeps winning in Erie County. I guess he thinks that winning in Erie County translates to going to New Hampshire, and maybe one of those, what's that town that votes at midnight? Maybe one of those first 10 votes will go for Mark. Anyway, yeah, I mean, by the way, I'm in agreement with David. Like, I want it to happen. Like, I want to see him run for president in the primary. It would be a complete waste of money. Like, I'd love the people who, you know, talk to me and say, Joe, you got a PSL at the new stadium. You're wasting your money. Or, Joe, you bought a share of the Green Bay Packers. That was a waste of money. Okay, where does that rank for putting money towards a pulling cars for president campaign? Do you still think that I'm the biggest loser? I would say that I'm getting more out of my money on those two things that people said I waste my money on than the county executive. Anyway, like I said, that's what David talked about at 9:30. It was a great segment. The reason I bring it up is because he was talking two things over the weekend. He was on Hardline on Sunday with Tom Puckett, who was filling in for me. Tom did a great job, which there was no question that, you know, obviously Tom's a professional. He was on, and he had a few things to say about ICE. And he said something along the lines of, you know, I find it interesting that ICE isn't in Florida or Texas. Now, that right there is a lie. ICE is in Florida. ICE is in Texas. There's been more deportations out of Florida than Minnesota. But Florida is cooperating with federal law enforcement. Texas, same thing. Minnesota, you have the governor and the mayor of Minneapolis making ICE out to be the bad guy from the beginning, causing the chaos, in my opinion. And I think, and I will say this, I think it's good that the president and Tim Walz talked. And at the end of the day, you got to be adults. They talked. Can they find a place to work? And, you know, a solution that will work for the president and that will work for Walz, we'll have to wait and see. But that's what he said to Tom Puckett on Sunday. It's a lie. And again, like I told David at the end of his show yesterday, he has to know that's a lie. Like, bro, you think you're going to run for president. And you're out there saying fabrications. ICE is not just in Minnesota. And ICE is doing, again, the job that the president was elected for. You could argue there's three reasons that Donald Trump's in the White House. Joe Biden let 17 million illegals into the country. Joe Biden sank the economy. And Kamala Harris might be the worst candidate to ever run for president. So immigration was one of them. And that's what the president ran on, and that's what he's doing. And he's not just doing it in Minnesota. So that was something that's just something that has to be clarified on these airwaves. Now, he also went on to tell Channel 2 this about ICE involvement. This is Ron Plants on the Channel 2 Facebook page. And this is what Ron tells us, the county executive said. Let's play that for you. Oh, I probably should unmute it on my computer.
Good evening. Ron Plants here again at Channel 2. Today, doing a story where we sat down with the Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz to discuss some questions regarding immigration and customs enforcement, the efforts that we've seen around the country, and kind of to assess whether that could ever really happen here, although there are a lot of differences, obviously, between here and Minneapolis and Chicago and Los Angeles, where we have seen these more focused, concentrated efforts by ICE agents working in those cities. Mark Poloncarz told us that actually there have been internal discussions with county government discussing what would happen just in case federal agents came to this area, although he said, frankly, they doubt it would happen because he's been told by law enforcement sources that just there are not enough undocumented individuals to make it worth their while. He says it would actually be counterproductive because there would not be enough people to detain even if they wanted to do so.
By the way, what an awful response. Okay. But number two, it's not factual. All right. We know that there are illegals here, and we know that there are illegals here who are violent criminals. And again, I go to ERO Buffalo on X. ICE removed. ICE is here, by the way. I mean, they're here. They're doing raids. I mean, they're here. They're removing criminal, violent criminal illegals. Now, I would make the argument that if you came into the country, you entered the country committing a crime. But let's just talk about what the county executive said. He said, "Well, there's not many here." Does that mean because there's so little here, Mr. County Executive, presidential candidate, does that mean that there's no violent illegal immigrants here? That's what Sean Ryan wants you to think, right? But I go to ERO Buffalo on X. ICE Buffalo removed Victor Manuel Posadas, a vile predator who was convicted, of course, of sexual conduct against a child. There are criminals that rioters and activists are fighting to keep in the country. This one was removed thanks to ERO Buffalo. Another one, ICE Buffalo arrested criminal alien from Afghanistan who was convicted of attempted murder after he stabbed his teenage sister in an attempted honor type killing. Now, that's just two names. There's a ton of examples on this page. So, are you saying, well, because there's not so many here, that the federal government should just ignore Erie County? And again, to Sean Ryan, and I think the mayor's going to be on the show Sunday, my question to Sean Ryan would be, what do you say about these individuals? Because, you know, if ICE didn't get a court order or couldn't get a court order before these criminals escape again, now you have violent, you know, child predator, a violent person who tried to attempt murder on their teenage sister. Those people are running free because of the restrictions that the city of Buffalo is now putting in place. And again, according to the county executive, since there's not too many, in his words, illegal immigrants, it would be dumb for the federal government to look into it. I just think that's an awful way to look at it, in my opinion. 803-0930, star 930. Any thoughts on this? Any thoughts on what the county executive said? I really have not opened phones for what the mayor did on Monday. You know, we've kind of had other news coming in, and I've never really gotten to that. This is your moment. If you want to comment on what the county executive said, if you want to comment on the county executive running for president, I think that's hilarious. Or if you want to comment on the executive order by Sean Ryan that bars city officials from working with ICE, would love to hear your thoughts. 803-0930, star 930. We start in Amherst with James. Hey, James.
Hi. Hey, Joe. I know you're a political junkie, as I am. Little known probably by most people today is that in 1996, former Mayor James Griffin entered the presidential primary in New Hampshire against the sitting president, Bill Clinton, at the time. And his campaign became, you know, got some notoriety because it was so odd. And Jimmy explained that he had unused campaign funds remaining, and rather than transfer them to another candidate for a different office, he decided to try his hand in a presidential primary. In fact, he got quite a bit of attention, although not many votes, and he was featured, as I recall, on the national evening news, you know, in the main networks, CBS, NBC, ABC, and he was going door to door, knocking on doors in New Hampshire.
Wow, James, I had no idea. That's and I like to think of myself as a political junkie, and that one skipped the radar. Now, I'm guessing after New Hampshire, he backed out?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, he just wanted to spend what money was left, or most of it, from his, built-up campaign funds over the years.
But here's, yeah. I will say this about Jimmy Griffin. Now, obviously, I don't know much about him. He passed in 08. But from the videos and from how everyone talks about him, I would assume that he had more of a personality in his thumbnail than Mark Poloncarz does in his entire body.
Jimmy had a great personality, yeah. You know, which is what obviously gave him so much political success. And by the way, another little known fact is that somehow he caught the attention of Jimmy Carter when Carter was running for president. And he traveled around a bit with Carter on his campaign plane. And there was some talk at one time that the mayor, former mayor, I don't know if he was mayor then, was on Carter's list for potential positions within his administration. Some people even said he might have been on the VP list, you know, at one time. And some people believe that the reason we have the metro that we do downtown is because the money came out of the Carter administration because of Jimmy's link to Carter.
Well, too bad the money stopped, because it would have been nice if that went a little further.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can remember when that went in, and all the talk was, well, soon the next phase will go in, down to Orchard Park and up into deeper into Amherst, and we'd all be taking the rail to work every day. And of course, that never happened.
Never happened. Well, James, you have now, believe me, after this show, I will be going down a rabbit hole thanks to the information that you have provided. I appreciate the call. James in Amherst, 803-0930, star 930. All right, three things we are talking about in the next segment. If you want to continue to talk about presidential campaigns and the county executive, I'll talk about it. The county executive's comments on Hardline and to Channel 2. On Hardline, he said that ICE is not in Florida or Texas. That's false. They are. He told Channel 2 there's not enough illegal immigrants here for ICE to even waste their time. Again, if there's, you know, two or three violent criminals, would you not want them removed from Western New York, from Erie County? Would love to know your thoughts on it. 803-0930, star 930, and the mayor of Buffalo, first executive order, it was to bar city resources from working with ICE. Your thoughts on that? We really haven't been able to open the phone lines on that executive order since it was signed on Monday. So would love your thoughts on that as well. It's Joe Beamer. We've got a lot to get to after the news on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is hump day. Don't forget tomorrow, opening the auto show right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. The Joe Beamer Show will be on the road. I love being on the road. I like being in studio. Don't get me wrong, but there's something about remotes, being out with the people. And we'll be talking cars tomorrow. And we'll be talking about cars with professionals, because I don't know anything about cars, right? We'll be talking about cars with professionals. We'll actually get a little into car talk in the final segment of the show today. But we are happy to bring on next the supervisor of Cheektowaga and, dare I say, friend of the show, Supervisor Brian Nowak. Supervisor, welcome back.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And you and I have been in talk. I know ICE is something that obviously is the discussion nationwide. It came up at your council meeting last night. What exactly took place?
Both last night and 2 weeks ago, we've had a number of our residents, my neighbors, my bosses, come to our board meeting and let their voice be heard about their feelings on immigration, customs enforcement, and CBP, and citing recent issues in Minneapolis and other parts of the country, and their belief that they feel the agency has gone too far in its mission for enforcement of immigration laws.
And Supervisor, where do you stand? Obviously, the mayor of Buffalo signed an executive order. Is that something you'll do in Cheektowaga? Where do you stand, and how are you going to handle this?
Well, one of the nice things about town government rather than city government is it's not just a executive decision. It's a town board decision. It's more democratic instead of a single person. Nothing against the city. It's just how it runs. I've got to manage the seven folks on my board and our police department and the community and balance all those interests to find a good solution to the issue. I've been on your show before talking about my issues with immigration enforcement over the last decade, that we don't have enough judges, that it's a situation that has gotten out of control. More and more people don't have proper paperwork to be in this country. That's bad for them. That's bad for everybody. What I've seen in Minneapolis in particular, and I mentioned this at the board meeting last night, is you're seeing case after case of U.S. citizens having their homes entered without proper warrants or permissions. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. There's a case of a Purple Heart vet that was detained for 8 hours, asked for a lawyer, didn't get access to one. His lawyer goes to the building, doesn't get access to his client. You got a naturalized U.S. citizen since 1991. ICE breaks into his house. The daughter says, hey, I have his ID. They don't care to see it. You see other videos where people are saying, I'm an American citizen, I have my ID, and still folks being detained. And people can have varying opinions on those things, but I think the agency's gone too far, and I think much of the public does too. But what we're seeing in places that are talking about restricting cooperation is they're differentiating between civil and criminal enforcement, as they should, because on the criminal side of things, I'm not going to have it on my hands to where the town passes a policy and somebody gets away that shouldn't, and a bad guy gets away that shouldn't. So to answer your question, I think we've got to make some changes to policy internally, but We've already made some improvements here as a town. We've done a retraining for our officers, and part of my working with the public is starting with the facts. And the facts are is that the Cheektowaga Police Department, yes, is on record in media stories, making a limited number of contacts to immigration and CBP. But it's our officers are not joining people in side-by-side raids of people's homes. We're doing state and local work here. You know, immigration is a federal issue in terms of enforcement. That's being done by ICE and Customs and Border Patrol. Our officers have their names on their uniforms. They're not wearing masks. They work every day to ensure public safety in the community. They've got good relationships with people in our community. They go out of their way to be charitable, to be helpful. And we build these good relationships with school resource officers, the Blue Bridges Initiative in town. I can go on and on and on. It's apples and wrenches, not just apples and oranges, apples and wrenches between what our local police department is doing and what ICE is seen and doing in certain instances and CBP is seen and doing, especially in Minneapolis. So I think there's room for making tweaks and adjustments to policy. I'm not looking for an overhaul. And that's something I'll be talking with board members and in the police department between yesterday's meeting and our next one.
But you know, you said something that I think is very different than the rhetoric that I've heard from some officials in the city. You talk about the dangerous criminals, and you don't want them on your hand. And you know, you go to ERO Buffalo on social media and see some of the violent criminals that were here illegally that they have detained. It seems like some of the language, especially some of the activists, is they want to protect everyone who's here illegally and no questions asked.
I think it's a matter of priority and rhetoric. I don't think people are too far apart here. I mean, you see people across the political spectrum that are very passionate on this. Most folks are reasonable, but there are some folks that they put the politics first and they make a point to rile people up. I mean, one of the residents I had at my meeting last night, or one of the folks I had at my meeting last night, he shared his opinion, and my residents and the audience gave him a hard time. And, you know, I extended a personal apology to him because I believe he deserved that. He deserved his right to speak unhindered, but he wasn't a town resident. And there's been this line of rhetoric that we have these outside agitators coming to Cheektowaga and just whipping people up against ICE, and it's not happening. It's our residents that are approaching the podium and saying what their beliefs, thoughts, and opinions are. And ironically, somebody showing up that is part of a regional political organization that is, you know, arguably saying things to get a rise out of the crowd. Now, it's on the crowd to respect his right to free speech, but it just goes against this rhetoric that's being shared on social media. As far as I'm concerned, council chambers in Cheektowaga, the purpose of that place is for us to hear everybody's views and respect them. There's no requirement that somebody is a resident of Cheektowaga to show up and speak. Getting back to this question here, I think most people are a lot closer together on this than they are separated. I don't think you see anybody out there seriously saying we should have criminals on the streets. You know, the folks that were speaking in favor of working with ICE were certainly expressing that idea. We need to get the criminals off the streets. The folks concerned about the agency going too far would share that with us to say, yeah, we recognize that there are dangerous people that we need to work with the federal government to deal with those folks. Maybe there's few and far between, but I think this is a 95-5 issue there.
Obviously we're talking about Cheektowaga, but I would like your thoughts on, you know, the 4 years of Biden. I think we can admit we're not the best for the border. Millions of people fled into the country. Let's say we remove the ones who have committed a criminal, violent, you know, act. What is your solution for the millions of people who are illegally here that we don't know where they are?
You know, Brian Nowak 10 years ago is going to be a little bit surprised in what he's about to say. Ronald Reagan offered an answer for this. During the Reagan administration, there was a degree of amnesty. And I think you're seeing that you see that solution proposed from time to time. There are so many folks in the country that are undocumented, whether they overstayed visas or they crossed the border or what have you, that, you know, it's, I don't see how we continue what ICE and CBP is doing and saying we're just going to do a campaign on the streets and door to door to get everybody out. In Minneapolis, one of the things that were happening were door to door efforts. And, you know, they're looking for folks that are non-citizens. You know, you look at the states with the citizenship issues, and Texas and Florida have a lot of folks that aren't documented, but you don't see this kind of operation happening there. You don't see more than 10% of the agents concentrated in a city in Florida or Texas. And, you know, it's, I think it's for the listener to ask why. I think it has to do with the letter that the attorney general sent to the state of Minnesota, the U.S. attorney general, asking for voter rolls. Why are they in Maine? There's a competitive Senate race in Maine. I think there's a, I think at the federal level, I think there's a lot of politics tied into this. But as far as, you know, going into the Biden administration or prior administrations, I think we have to consider all different tools. You get more judges. You consider amnesty. We have to look at work permits again, all sorts of different things. You know, there were, during the Obama administration, there was an approach of going after employers and going that route. You had the situation with the Dreamers, and there was some reversal on that, too. I don't think there's any one particular answer at this point. I think it's a political football, so to speak, that you got one party that wants to take advantage of cheap labor and another party that wants to count folks toward voter rolls. And there's some overlap with those two. And that makes it difficult to get to a consensus. There was legislation during, I believe it was during the end of the first Trump administration, maybe in the early Biden administration, that Trump himself torpedoed. I mean, these are the, you know, so there's, you're looking at decades of a problem that's growing, and you're looking at potential solutions that don't get funded, don't get implemented, and it's just growing larger and larger and larger. And I don't see how we solve that problem without saying people without a criminal record, people that are coming out of the shadows that have been working, paying sales taxes, being decent residents of their communities, that we have to do some type of amnesty. We've been talking about people self-deporting and giving them, you know, a couple thousand dollars to do that. I mean, it's, I think it's all hands on deck kind of solution to the problem, but having a police agency that goes into U.S. cities door to door, detaining U.S. citizens, and denying them access to lawyers and violating the Fourth Amendment and challenging and getting in the way of the Bill of Rights, it's not the solution to the problem. And I think most people would agree that we, that the federal government has gone too far on this.
To be fair, they are in Florida and Texas. The county executive made the same claim on Hardline Sunday. They are in Florida and Texas. It's just that local law enforcement is helping them in Florida and Texas. Don't you think that helps to reduce the amount of chaos?
The state police union in Minnesota has been asking for clarity in how to work between the local and, you know, between different agencies there. They're seeking clarity right now. So you see them even on record saying, what are we supposed to do here, and expressing concern with operations and things that are going on. But again, it goes to clarifying cooperation. I wouldn't say that you have to do my proposed solution, or I shouldn't say we'll go to Joe Beamer's proposed solution, but whatever solutions put on the table to offer clarity. I mean, that's what the city of Buffalo has done, is issued some clarity. That's what you see the state police union in Minnesota looking for, is clarity. Whatever the town of Cheektowaga does in the near future, the town board working with RPD, working with the rest of the community, it's going to offer a bit more clarity on exactly how the relationship works.
You know, when we talk, I always notice that, you know, you always have a jab to throw at both political parties. And obviously, Democrats think they're going to get a big gain in 26. Supervisor, I know this is outside of Cheektowaga, but what do you think is one main issue facing your party nationally in the midterm election?
I think it's an issue facing both parties. If you look at the voter turnout in Western New York in the last election, it wasn't a matter of voting for somebody. It was a matter of voting against another party. The vote was against the Republican Party this last fall, and voter turnouts were low. I mean, in my town, I think voter turnout was approximately 25%. Usually it's closer to 30. So, yeah, my party did very well, but fewer people showed up at the polls. It comes down to affordability. I think that's one of the biggest issues facing both major parties. I mean, it's part of the reason Trump and Republicans were elected in 24, and it's why you're going to see a wholesale rejection. And unfortunately, it's proposed solutions to address affordability. There's major disagreement. I'm of the view that some of the things I would like to put on the table will be the answer to those issues nationally, especially when it comes to healthcare. We've talked about that previously, but you look at electricity prices and all that. I mean, that's stuff that you can't solve in a day. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a whipsaw of folks rejecting each party when they're not seeing quick solutions. But if we start putting real investments into energy now and, you know, addressing affordability when it comes to food prices, addressing the housing shortage, and that's a different answer in every other neighborhood, and addressing the healthcare issue, addressing, you know, continuing education. It's not just college, it's trade schools and things like that, and raising wages that way. All that together will help solve the problem, but there's no one single silver bullet that's going to address affordability. I think that's the big issue, and I think it's the reason you're going to see some volatility in elections over the next 4 to 6 years, at least.
Now, I know we agreed to talk about ICE, but I do have to ask you, at the meeting last night, tax increases also came up. What are some of the things you're hearing from residents?
Well, it's there's split opinion, but there's a lot of folks. We had a lot of folks send us the same form letter expressing concern about exceeding the tax cap. And I understand where they're coming from. You know, when I got into office at the beginning of 2024, we had an ice storm in the first few weeks. My wife had a baby. And immediately after that, I got out telling the public that the town has committed itself to more spending long term than the revenues it's collecting. And we're still in that situation. I proposed a budget last year that we talked about. It was proposed 7.5% increase. The Republican majority at the time, they took that budget down to 2.8%. They proposed $3.6 million of new spending, but only $1.8 million of revenue, approximately. So not only did they not reverse the structural deficit, as I tried to do in my proposed budget, they doubled down and made it worse. And we're inheriting that situation. When you're increasing the revenues 2.5% to 3%, but your expenses in healthcare and pensions are going up double digits, and your cost of wages is going up well over 3%, you know, and then you have these equipment needs and infrastructure needs, you know, something's got to give at some point. We're not talking about wants, we're talking about needs. And the town's finance director and our town comptroller both went on the record last night saying it is an answer to my question. What can we address the budget without exceeding the tax cap? They said in their view, with what they know right now, no, we can't do that. Something has to change. And we're under contract as far as it goes to wages. And we have obligations for health care and pensions, and that stuff does not slow down. It doesn't change in the short run.
Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak. Brian, always appreciate you coming on and having us be able to discuss our differences.
I appreciate that. My boss has listened to the station, so I got to come here and share my views.
And we always appreciate it. That is Supervisor Brian Nowak, the supervisor of Cheektowaga. Any thoughts on what the supervisor said? I would love to hear it. 803-0930-*930. We have a caller in Cheektowaga. He'll be the first when we get back from the news. It is Joe Beamer on a Wednesday on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, hour number two on this hump day, 803-0930-*930. And let's wait no further. Bill in Cheektowaga has been very patient. Bill, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, Joe. I don't know if you saw, but there was I'm not sure what he's the head of, but Mr. Lyons, like three Sundays ago, was on Meet the Press or one of those shows, and they were talking about body cams. And, you know, it was... me and my nephew had a lot of discussions about these body cams, and they were saying, like, why don't these ICE agents have body cams? And this guy said that it was because they didn't have funding for it, and it's in the process. But what I have found is that the money was appropriated, or the bill was appropriated to have body cams in 2022 or some or thereabouts. But then I don't know, I was wondering why this would happen. I don't know, it's a body cam seem to be a good thing. I mean, I do you agree with that.
Yeah, I was surprised that they don't, you know, that their way of... Now, some do. I guess some have gotten body cams, but most do not, according to according to officials. And yeah, I think they should have the same equipment that every law enforcement agent has, and that includes a body cam.
Is there a negative about body cams that that I'm not aware of?
No, I mean, I think body cams, you know, usually put you in the moment. And, you know, if there's a law enforcement agent listening that thinks what I'm about to say is wrong, please call in and correct. I'm giving my opinion from on the very outside looking in. But I would say as a law enforcement agent, you would, you know, if something were to happen, you would want the investigation to be from your point of view and everything that was surrounding you at that moment.
Yeah, it would seem that it protects everybody. That it protects the possible perpetrators or whatever, or the people being arrested, and it would back up, you know, what the law enforcement is doing. But I'm not sure I understand why. But
they blame funding. But I mean, to be fair, they got a huge increase in funding, and you think they could use that for? If it were up to me, you think they could use it for body cams?
Yeah, it says that the bill was passed like somewhere like 22, but just when I'm looking on the internet, it says a Trump executive order issued in early 2025 rescinded the requirement that federal agents wear body cameras, and it doesn't seem to make sense. I don't know why he would do that, and I was just kind of wondering. Yeah, like you said, maybe somebody will call in and be able to say, you know, why that would happen. Because I, in a cynical way, I kind of think, well, you know, like it seems like sometimes Trump just wants to get rid of anything that Biden's ever done. You know, it's like just because it was Biden, kind of like he has BDS rather than TDS, you know. But
Biden neglected a lot of things because he didn't want to be looped in with Trump. I mean, the reason the border was as open as it was because, you know, Trump was for a restricted border, so Biden had to be anti.
I'm not disagreeing with that. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out why, you know, I mean, Biden got the this in motion for him to have body cameras, but why would Trump, you know, do away with it? It doesn't seem to make sense.
No, like you said, Bill, maybe someone who has a little more experience in that field will call in, but I do appreciate the call, Bill in Cheektowaga. Now, we had the supervisor of Cheektowaga on before the break, and I always appreciate Supervisor Noek's time. We obviously have some disagreements on this. You know, first thing, he mentioned why do ICE officers have masks on? I mean, you've got people and, you know, some politicians that want to dox these individuals, want to harass these individuals. You know, if they found their identity, would go to their homes and harass these individuals. That's not, you know, I can understand why they're protecting their identity. This idea of mass amnesty, I understand that's what Reagan did. We talked about that last week. I just think it's sending the wrong message. Because, you know, we talked to a gentleman in Clarence last week who did everything the right way. It was a legal immigrant. And what's that saying to the legal immigrant that did everything right, you know, that did everything right to become an American citizen? It because of, you know, Biden's neglect at the border, we're now going to just grant mass amnesty. I don't see that as being... I don't see that as being the right solution, because again, you're giving, what's the word I'm looking for? You are excusing people from doing things the wrong way, right? If you rob a bank, if you and a million people rob a bank, the bank doesn't just grant you amnesty from that money. They want the money back, right? You came in the wrong way. And, you know, again, I'm not saying that everyone who came in here illegally is an awful person. But we have rules for a reason, right? If you go 60 down transit, you're going to get a ticket. I'm going to get a ticket. Everyone's going to get a ticket. We don't grant amnesty because you got pulled over at 3 in the morning. Usually the officer doesn't say, oh, okay, well, if you got caught with a 60-mile-an-hour speeding ticket between the hours of 3 and 6 a.m., you can rip those tickets up. You broke the law. And I'm not saying we don't want people in this country. I'm not saying we don't want, you know, someone who might be here illegally eventually in the country. But you got to follow the right process. And to grant mass amnesty, again, it is a slap in the face to people who did it the right way. And it is sending a message that if you illegally come into this nation, if you break into this nation, eventually we'll just let you stay. It's just as flawed as, you know, squatter rights in New York State. We have things the right way. We have to make sure we're doing it the right way. We have to make sure we know who's in this country. And in my opinion, it's either right or wrong, or it's, because this sends the wrong message to many people. It sends the wrong message to people not in the country. Well, if you break in, eventually we'll just grant you amnesty. It also sends the message to, you know, future presidents. Hey, if you flood the system, eventually you'll get your way. And, you know, I mean, Biden was wrong to let the border wide open as long as he did. Again, they left the border open because everything Trump says is good must be bad. Everything Trump says is bad must be good. And they left the border wide open. And the message got around. And for 4 years, you could walk into America as easy as you could walk into a mall. 803-0930, *930. Let's go to BlackRock. That's where we find Frank. Hey, Frank.
Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
Man, I swear, you know, these Democrats, it's like they read off the same script from my entire childhood and adult life. This, you know, this amnesty, the school lottery from last week, all of this ties in, and it looks to me a lot like we're trying to establish the next generation of Democratic voters on the welfare rolls. That's what it seems like to me, right? Like, let's condition the next generation of people to accept the free handouts so we can continue to put these losers in office. Polling cars, it's going to be funny if he runs for president because he's protected here in this small community. He's got the money to allow himself to look good in a small pond. But I'll tell you what, when he gets out there with some of the big dogs, he ain't going to be able to hide anymore.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, when it comes crashing down, what he tells himself, right? Because, of course, he hears things on the station, and he probably just tells himself, oh, that's just, you know, that's right-wing talk or whatever. But I wonder, like, when, I mean, he got rejected by Jeremy Zellner when it came to Brian Higgins' congressional seat. What happens when someone in New Hampshire, South Carolina, I mean, however far you go, when they continue to reject you, then what's the excuse? You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Not to mention, he's not too bright. He's going to be exposed day one, week one. I mean, like I always say, he can't even call in and talk to you guys. I mean, that's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'd love to see it in action, Frank. It would give us some, it would give me some material, and I'm always happy for material. But it would be a colossal waste of money, and I mean, to an extreme that I don't think I could even put into terms of how I would waste that money.
the amnesty. I love how they bring this up. It's like, get all of them out of here. They shouldn't be here. What are they? They're not picking any. What are they picking in Buffalo? Icicles? Get real. Like, this is just crazy. They've ran this part of town my entire life since the factories dried up and left. This place has been nothing but fraud and welfare and just degradation. And people got to get sick of it and get out there and vote, like I always talk about.
Got to vote, Frank. Appreciate the call, Frank in Black Rock. Let's go to Alton in North Collins. Alton, thanks for hanging on.
Hi. I'm a little ticked off because I'm tired of, you know, these people, they paid somebody to sneak them into the country, and now they're sucking off the welfare and stuff like that. And it's like, and now, you know, you're talking amnesty, you know, the guy's talking amnesty. You know, the first, you know, like I said, first of all, they paid somebody to sneak them in. So that's a crime right there. You paying somebody to take you into if you did that in Russia, China, you'd be in jail and quicker than a sneaker. You know, I just don't get it. You know, I'm tired of these people talking about amnesty. They don't deserve amnesty. They broke the law. No matter how old they are, how young they are, they broke the law.
Yeah, you started on the wrong foot. Yeah. It was an awful first impression. I'm sorry. We gotta do things the right way. Again, you want to leave and come back the right way. I would entertain that, but I don't see how we just say, yeah, we know you broke our laws, but we're gonna let you slide. It's the complete wrong message, and I think it will set up decades of a continuous problem.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Hey, man, I agree. Alton in North Collins, 803-0930, *930. And you know, I want to say, I'm not anti-immigration. I love people. I love people that love this country. This is an amazing country. There's a reason people want to be here. It's the greatest country to ever exist. But we have rules. We have rules and regulations. We all do. 803-0930, *930. Is the number to get on if you want to talk about this. Obviously, it seems every day there's just new comments made. And again, you got the kind of executive on Hardline saying, you know, what he said about ICE, and then he's saying that there's not enough undocumented, in his words, undocumented people for ICE to even entertain coming to Erie County. Again, are you going to say because there's, quote, not many, that none of them are violent, none of them are criminals? You got the executive order in the city of Buffalo, which obviously I just could not be more in disagreement with. I think it sends, you know, you want to talk about the wrong message. It sends the wrong message. And I will continue to say this, and I know I sound like a broken record because I've said it for 3 days in a row now. I just don't know what message you're sending to your legal residents of Buffalo when your first executive order is pretty much protecting illegal immigrants, not getting to the bottom of why there is lead in the soil on the east side. Something that I still cannot believe. We have not had a press conference. We have not had any legislation. We've had nothing. We can sign executive orders about illegal immigrants, but what, when the lead thing comes up, we're just going to blame the fact that we're in a deficit? I don't know how much more, I don't know what else you could put being more important than, you know, finding a way to get the lead out of the soil and out of the water. That's a problem. And that is a problem that legal residents on the east side of Buffalo have been facing, for decades now, but now they know. Now we've seen the results. And it seems like the city of Buffalo, be it the end of the Scanlon administration or the beginning of the Ryan administration, has been completely silent on it. And I'm not forgetting about Poland Cars either. It's, you know, the biggest city in his county. And I haven't heard anything at the county level about the three times the dangerous level of lead. Yet the thing that we want to, you know, applaud about and clap about and do a big presentation about is the executive order to not cooperate with ICE. Yet we're still crickets. And again, I'm not just saying Sean Ryan. We were crickets from the Scanlon administration. We're still crickets from the Poland Cars administration. It's not just Sean Ryan. But I think it sends the wrong signal. If I was a legal Buffalo resident on the east side of Buffalo, and I have heard what they found in my soil testing with lead, and I have yet to hear a comment, a statement, a goal about addressing the lead, I'd be pretty ticked off. And again, I've illustrated the problems that brings, right? Your dog goes outside to go to the bathroom. Now there's soil on their paws. I don't care how much you wipe it off. Bring that through the house. It could be lead there. Your children playing outside. I mean, come on. When we were kids, you didn't play out in the mud. You look at these tests and the amount of lead that's in that soil. It's disturbing. It's disturbing. You've heard no plan of action. You've heard no how we're going to address this. No, we've spent a week in the city of Buffalo talking about and then signing an executive order to not cooperate with ICE. Does that mean that the illegal immigrants are a higher priority to the mayor of Buffalo than the residents of the east side? And Texter said lead's in the water, not the soil. Texter, I don't know where you've been. There was a study done. We did a show on it. There was a study done where they took soil samples from numerous yards on the east side, and they tested three times the dangerous level of lead. So, yes, it's in the water. It's also in the soil. 803-0930, star 930. We'll continue taking calls on this. But when we come back, I will be at the auto show tomorrow, 1 to 3 on WBEN. When you're looking for a car in 2026, I'm not a car guy, but I know we have a lot of car people out there. What must a car have in 2026? 803-0930, star 930, back after this. Final segment, 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the show. We talked about ICE and illegal immigration and the mayor and the county executive. Supervisor Brian Nowak joined the show. Always happy to talk with him, even though we have our disagreements, and there are many on this. But, I will always say that I enjoy talking out our disagreements, and, you know, that doesn't mean harassing someone on social media. It means calling in and having a great discussion. We had that with Mitch Nowakowski last week. We had it with Brian Nowak this week, and always looking for those discussions. And I think, you know, I've said this, I don't need to repeat myself, but I think we need to have more. I think we need to be able to talk with each other. And, too many people out there just don't want to talk. I mean, we see it. By the way, I should let you know that there is an ICE shutdown on Friday. Yes, I know. You're probably wondering, like, an ICE shutdown. I didn't hear about this. Yeah, well, it's this is happening nationwide, and let me play this for you. This is happening on Friday. So if you were going to go to work on Friday, you might want to think again. This is what activists have planned. Big moment. This could be scary for the administration.
Both Democrats and some Republicans call for an investigation into the shooting death of Alex Preti in Minneapolis. Anti-ICE activists are organizing what they call a nationwide shutdown this Friday. Fox 11's Nick Garcia is live in Downey with what organizers hope the shutdown will accomplish. Nick.
Right, Christine. Well, we're here in Downey this evening because Union del Barrio is holding a training here. They say to help people or teach people how to properly document ICE activity they see. Additionally, organizers of that national shutdown hope that boycott will send a strong message. No work, no school, and no shopping. That's what organizers of Friday's national shutdown are calling for. Local politicians are joining in, like Assemblymember Isaac Bryan, seen in the social media video with protesters over the weekend.
This is a moment for the people of this country to stand up to this administration and say enough.
I do believe that this will be effective, and I do believe that this is how we will get the federal government to stop its violence against American citizens.
They say the goal of the boycott is to get the federal government to scale down ICE operations. The Trump administration has not indicated immigration enforcement will stop.
We've seen that people power is moving the needle. It's not just moving public opinion, which it certainly is. It led to the demotion of a leading lieutenant in the Trump administration, Bovino.
Several congressional Republicans support investigations into the shooting deaths of Alex Pretty and Renee Good. Texas Senator Ted Cruz calling for the White House to be, quote, more measured in immigration operations. State Senator Perez says enough is enough.
What we have seen taken place over the last several weeks has been incredibly alarming.
By the way, I think most people agree that an investigation should take place. I don't see too many people saying don't investigate. I'm all for investigation. And, you know, let's get the facts out there. And let's, whatever the facts are, you know, we follow up accordingly. By the way, just so you know, federal agents involved in the shooting of Alex Pretty have been placed on leave, that breaking in just the last few minutes. But this shutdown for ICE Day, they've done this once. You know, they did this after Trump was elected. It's, you know, again, it's just this. I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. I don't have the job where I just, you know, can't show up on Friday. I don't have the lifestyle where I can't go and make purchases on Friday. Like, I live a real life. Like, I can't, you know, it's funny. I've seen the people I've seen who have posted about this event on the shutdown on Friday. They don't have full-time jobs. Like, I've seen three people post about this. Not one of them have a full-time job. They're stay-at-home parents, which I have nothing against stay-at-home parent, you know. If one parent makes enough that the other can stay home with the kids, God bless you. But you have to admit, if you're a stay-at-home parent and you're posting about the ice-out nationwide shutdown, no work, no school, no shopping, it's a little easier for you to do than those of us who have to, you know, wake our, you know, butts up and get to work. But whatever. Hey, can you imagine, though? And this is the thing that scares me. You're a parent and, you know, you're one of these radical left wing parents and you pull your kid from school on Friday. You know, you call the principal's office. Yes, I'm pulling little Johnny out of school on Friday. Oh, is everything okay? Yes, I'm icing out nationwide shutdown. Knowing people who run some of the districts locally, they probably be like, oh, I wish I didn't have to come to work today, right? But I mean, is that good parenting? Now, don't get me wrong. I understand there are some people out there that would say, you know, Joe, you're one to talk. Your parents pulled you out of school so you could go to the loser parade when the Sabres lost the Stanley Cup. Well, I would say that was a very just cause because, you know, we didn't know that Dominic Hasek was going to just let a goal in because he wanted to get out of Buffalo. 803-0930, star 930, Bill's in Williamsville. Hey, Bill.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Oh, I'm better now that I hear your voice.
Good. Hey, how's your uncle? Was he one of the two that called in yesterday or the day before? I don't remember.
He didn't call into my show.
Remember, you had two call-ins. They were debating about, I think, the music or something. I don't remember.
No, I will. I had more than two calls yesterday, Bill.
No. I know, but you had two calls about something. There was. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I would like to talk to Kevin because, you know, I'd love to know how he's reacting to the letter from the county executive. I mean, does this mean that he'll finally speak out?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh man, you can't write a better script. Even what's his name? Why? What is going on here? I'm sorry, Joe. They got the roads closed down where I'm driving. But it's just crazy. Here's the thing that it gets me. It's accountability. there ain't no accountability, like they would say in South Buffalo. Ain't no. But that's it. If you had accountability, you would have a difference in society. It's so slanted to the left now, including the other arm, which is the media. And it could be on both sides of the media, too, if you want to consider the different stations. But it's just crazy. There's no accountability on what these people put out. That situation the other day where he got killed, pathetic. But the fact is, the rush to judgment that you see in the media, especially the left-leaning media, before all the facts are in, all the reviews are in, it's pathetic in that. And there's no accountability for that. But I don't know. I just think it's crazy. I think Buffalo's crazy. And I think, why the heck do people live here? It's crazy. You know?
Do you ever ask yourself that question, Bill? Like, you know, I look in the mirror all the time and I say, why am I still here?
Oh, I know. I'm telling you. I got people around the country who go, why the hell are you still there? Especially with the crazy governor that I went to school with, same year and everything, graduation.
Now, did you teach her how to shovel? Is that where she got those skills?
No. My first business was the Blizzard of 77. That shows you how good I was.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, it's funny you mentioned I'm glad you mentioned it, because I was eventually going to get to 49 years ago today, the Blizzard of 77, but we'll have to do that maybe on Friday. We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But if we had accountability, especially in the media, where if they put something out there and like they don't want to take accountability, they have hypersensitized all these crazy wacko people.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing, maybe you heard it. Did you hear that he was a nurse, but he gave that up?
Yeah, David talked about that in his 12, and I believe the 11 o'clock hour today. That's the that's where I heard it. Yeah. Yep.
There you go. I mean, just get the facts before you start shooting your mouth off.
Exactly. And that's why I say, like, I'm going to wait till there's an investigation before. Who am I to say anything? You know, like.
Absolutely.
But you have to remember, the CNNs and the MS Nows, Bill, they've got, they have a shrinking audience as it is. They've got to make sure the people who actually come to those stations stay there, and they feed them the hysterics.
Yeah, absolutely. And they buy into it, because the only thing they have in their life, their idol, their god, is their phone, where they get their ignorant opinion from that they're willing to kill people for. If they don't want to take accountability, they're partial cause of that situation the other day. They won't. Number one, I've said before, they don't care. Most of the politicians just don't care, because there's no accountability. What nothing happens.
No, too many politicians only care about getting that those next 2 years, Bill.
You got it.
Amen.
Well, God bless you, Joe, and take care of that family.
Will do, Bill in Williamsville. And that is the truth of the stations like the MS Now. I mean, they say what will give their audience, you know, they give their audience what they want, right? And they don't care if it's true or not. They want when you tune into MS Now, you are going to get left-leaning news, right? Now, I will say, you know my opinion, you know where I usually stand, but I'm not afraid, if you've listened to the show, and by the way, I would say that none of the hosts here are afraid of voicing a differing opinion than what a majority of the audience might feel, right? We give you our honest opinion. No one tells us what we have to say. No one tells us talking points. We don't meet before the show and this is what you have to stand for today. No. Now, I also have confidence that this audience, if I said something that they disagree with, which I have, I know there's people that disagree with almost everything I say, they're not going to turn it off. I have a little faith that people will continue to listen. I think the CNNs and the MS Nows, they've seen their numbers drop, and they continue to feed the left-wing talking points, which, you know, and don't get me wrong, there are stations. There are stations that will, you know, give a more of a right standing. But, you know, I Fox News always gets called out to be the right-wing station. But, I mean, they regularly have a left-leaning voice on their shows. I mean, if you ever watch The Five, Jessica Tarlov is on there. And, I mean, I can't remember the last time I agreed with Jessica Tarlov, but she's on there. They give the different opinion. Leslie Marshall, who I worked I worked on her show for a few years. She's on Fox quite often. You know, they do give that two sides. CNN tries it. I mean, Scott Jennings is great, but if you tune in, I mean, it's usually the host, the left wing, you know, guy or female, and versus Scott Jennings. I mean, Scott Jennings doesn't usually have the host on their side. You watch that show with Abby Phillip, it's the panel and Abby versus Scott Jennings, and every now and then Ben Ferguson is also on the show, but usually it's the panel and Abby versus Scott Jennings. It is giving you the more of the left wing. It's more, but to be fair, I mean, the five is four versus one. So Fox does it too. I'm just saying, when CNN has a right-leaning person on, it usually, the host joins the left-leaning commentators. I mean, yesterday, Mr. Wonderful was on Abby Phillip's show, and you had two of the guests and Abby Phillip ganging up on Mr. Wonderful. I'm just saying, someone texted in, CNN has right-leaning people all the time. What are you talking about? That's what I just said. That's what I just said. What are you talking about, Texter? And yeah, I mean, Fox has opinion shows that tend to lean to the right. But my point is, they usually do have a liberal-leaning person's point of view, you know, on shows like Outnumbered, on The Five. Usually, and Brett, Brett Baier does a great job at 6 o'clock. He has that segment where he has someone from the right and someone from the left and something they agree on. And I think that's, I think we need to see more of that, actually. More of people having discussions, not screaming at each other. As much as I like to watch Scott Jennings, the problem with that Abby Phillip show is it turns out to people just screaming at each other and, you know, you never hear a full point. So let's go to Catherine and Elma, because I don't want Catherine to hang on any longer. Catherine, thanks for hanging on.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Your thoughts on this.
Okay, my thoughts. One thought is I completely disagree with the supervisor from Sheikh Diwaga when he said that ICE is going door to door in Minneapolis. He is right on that, but he didn't finish it. He should have prefaced it with, they are knocking on doors only if the last known address was one of those convicted criminals that were let go. Because Minneapolis let out a lot of convicted felons from their prisons. So they are knocking on the doors if that was their last known address. They're just not coming down streets and knocking on every door. That's the that's what they're trying to perpetuate, and that's just not true. So that's my first point.
Yeah, and also Minnesota does not let ICE go through the jails.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If they would just cooperate, they wouldn't be having these problems. And as far as that walkout on Friday, that sounds ridiculous. But another point I just want to make, too, is that in my family, I have two members who work for ICE. And this has caused a huge division in my family. I come from a really big family, and one of my own siblings is disassociating himself with us because we support ICE. And my one brother who's supporting or who was disassociating, he was a big Biden supporter. But Biden is the reason that we are in this position. And I don't believe in amnesty the way that the supervisor was talking about. There's just too many. I mean, I agree with you, Joe. There's just too many. We can't be having all these illegals. They broke the laws. I mean, it's this country is not. They are not coming here to assimilate. They are coming here. They want us to change. I work in a local public school. And we couldn't even have a Christmas concert because there's so many of people who are not Christian. This country is a Christian country. So that's the kind of stuff that's happened. We can't have pepperoni on the pizza because it's pork. It's nonsense.
So you're saying that the county executive, his comment that there's not that many here to begin with, might not be an accurate statement.
That's a completely, it's just a lie.
Yeah.
It's not even inaccurate. It's just a lie. He out and out lied.
Wouldn't be the first time. Hey, Catherine, we're up against the clock, but appreciate the call. Thanks. Catherine in Elma, and that is the show for today. I want to thank Chris filling in for Tanner, doing a great job on the other side of the glass. He'll be with you. He's going to stay here for Bowerly and for Puckett and for Will Kane. So Chris has a night ahead of him. 803-0930, *930, by the way, is the number for Bowerly when he has when he takes over. And as always, I know he has an amazing show planned for you. Don't forget tomorrow, 1 o'clock. That's when the show usually starts, and it will tomorrow too. I will be live from the Buffalo Auto Show. If you're planning to be there between 1 and 3, stop by, say hi during a break. Always love meeting listeners. And, you know, if you're going to the Sabres game tomorrow night, wouldn't the auto show be a great pregame? Go, you look at some fancy cars. I like going to the auto show and going, wow, here's a car that I'll never be able to afford. But it's nice. And last time we did the auto show, I got to sit in a Lamborghini. Maybe we'll make that happen again this time around. But a fun time. And, you know, as much as I love being here with everyone in the studio, always nice to be out and doing remotes and being with the people. And that'll be me tomorrow, 1 o'clock, live from the auto show. We'll talk with you then. Bowerly's next after the news with Puckett. Have a great hump day. Talk to you tomorrow on News Radio 930 WBEN.